The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, ve'amen.
Daf Ayin Vav. Today's Daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Marat Zakenati, Yafad Batzara, Ve'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther, Wahashem Tenehem Began Eden, Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Refuah Shel Imam Moshe Ben Dina. In the Refana Lo, Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf, Refuat HaKur Abad Abo, Ve'chen Yerasom V'Roman, Amen. We begin today's Daf on Ayin Vav Amud Rishon. And we are on the top line. Ganav Ve'Higdish. Ve'achar Kach Tavach U'machar. So a guy stole an animal, and then he made it a gdish. After he made it a gdish, he slaughtered it. So the Mishnah said he doesn't have to pay dalet veheh for the obvious reason, because he's not slaughtering the master's animal anymore. Once he made it a gdish, it leaves the reshut of the master. Amre bishlama atevihah lo mechayev dechi katavah dehgdish katavah vela demare katavah. I understand when you slaughtered it, the reason why you don't pay dalet veheh is because it's not the master's. Because bottom line, we must be talking about a case over here where he made it hekdesh. Now, if he made it hekdesh, that means the owners must have made yeush. Because you cannot make hekdesh before yeush. Once you make hekdesh, you have a yeush and a shinui reshut. So it's really not the owners anymore. It's in a different reshut. So therefore, I understand why if you were toveyah after hekdesh, it's not the owners. Therefore, you're not going to pay dalet veheh. Because again, combination of the yeush of the owner and the shinui reshut of the hekdesh, lav demare katabah. Ela a hekdesh lihayev, but it should be hayav for the mere fact that he made it hekdesh. Why? Mali machro lehidyot, mali machro lashamayim. You have a regular case of ganav umcharo. What's the difference if he sells it to a regular guy or he sold it to hekdesh? Bottom line, when he makes it hekdesh, he removed it from one domain and he put it in a different domain. It's like selling it. And if we should be hayav for ganav u'machar, we should be hayav dalet veheh. Why did the Mishnah say ganav v'hekdish? Utbacho u'mecharo eno mishalem. Utbacho, I understand, it's not his. But if he, the fact that he made it hekdesh, the making it of hekdesh, is like selling it. And if we should be hayav mishum geneva v'mechira, mishum the hekdesh itself. Gemara answers, Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah? The Bishimon he, the Amar, Kadashin shehayav b'achariyutan b'rishute demare kaime. The Bishimon said in our Mishnah that if you have Kadashin, that you hayav b'achariyutan. What does hayav b'achariyutan mean? You're responsible for. For example, a person said in front of an animal, Hare alai, it's on me to bring. Now, he consecrated the animal that was in front of him. But let's say something happens to the animal. Since he said, Hare alai, it's considered hayam b'hariyutan, and he has to repay it. He has to pay it again. He has to take another animal. So that's called kadashim shehayam b'hariyutan. We have a rule that the Gemara is saying, that something that's hayam b'hariyutan is considered yom mamon. Even though it's a gdesh, but it's considered yom mamon in the sense it's gorem l'mamon. That if you lose it, you're going to have to replenish it. So therefore, something that's hayav b'hariyutan is considered to a certain degree in the owner's possession. Therefore, the case is like this. The ganav stole the animal. Now, we have a ganav. He made it hekdesh. But how did he make it hekdesh, the ganav? He said, Hare alai lehavi korban. So by saying Hare alai, so such a hekdesh does not leave the reshut, his reshut, which means it's still considered his mamon. It's going to be considered as mamon because why? He's hayav b'hariyutan. So look at Rashi now. Rashi explains this. Rabbi Shimoni, Ugon she'amar hare alai ola. Right? The ganav said this. Hare alai ola. Vifrish gineva zu lenidro. and he separated this geneva for his neder. The keman de hayav baharito, since he would have to replenish it. The davar agorem de mamon ukemamon dame velav mechirahi.
That's the point. He didn't sell it. It didn't leave his reshut. A regular hekdesh, yes, the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara is conceding. A regular hekdesh would be a mechira. But this type of hekdesh is not a mechira because the type of hekdesh that you made it is considered still the ganavs. Because it's davar agorem le mamon. Therefore, it's still his. Because if this something happens to him, he has to replace it. So if it's considered still connected to him. Inechen amir. If he slaughtered it, he's not going to be hayav. Now she points that out. Miu le'inyan tevi ha'patur. Even though it's in his reshut, the gabed has to replenish it. Dim avdo hayav b'chariyutan le'agdi le'agdesh hal alei ami Hashem mekdesh tapukem reshut mara kama ve'lam mara katabah. So it's almost like a we're saying two things there. The gabed tivicha, it's not his. It's considered already hegdesh, and therefore if he slaughtered it, he's not going to be hayav. He didn't slaughter the owners, but le'inyan. That when he makes an egdesh, such a egdesh is not considered you sold it. Why? Because it's still yours. Le'inyan ma, le'inyan that you're responsible for it. Le'inyan that you're going to have to replenish it. Therefore, it's gorem le'mamon. So such a egdesh is not considered a mechira. That's what the Gemara wants to say. That the Mishnah that said, egdesh is not considered a mechira, is Adibad Rabbi Shimon that says, if you're talking about a case, it's hayav ma'chariyuto. Comes the Gemara and says, again, Hamane Rabbi Shimoni, the Mar Kadashim Shehayab Bahariyutan Birishute de Mare Kaime. It's considered in the reshut of the one that made it Ekdesh. He didn't sell it. The Firan Hayab. Gemara says, wait, Hamad the Sefa Rabbi Shimon Abe, Resha Lav Rabbi Shimon. Wait, we learned in the Sefa of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, from the fact that the Sefa is Rabbi Shimon, the Resha must not be Rabbi Shimon. We're in the Resha of the Mishnah. So you cannot tell me it's Rabbi Shimon. Because the Sefa of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. So we're back to the question. Why isn't the actual Hekdesh itself considered a Mechira, that you should be Hayav Dalet Vehe? Good? Why isn't the Hekdesh itself considered a Mechira? Ela, Hakabimah Askinan. Kadashim Kalim. What type of Hekdesh did you make it? Kadashim Kalim. For example, the Ganav made the animal Hekdesh. Kurban Shilamim, for example. The Alibad Rabbi Yosef Galili. The Amar Kadashim Kalim. Mamon Ba'alim Hu. Ubrishote Kaime. Yos Kadashim Kalim is not such a strong Hekdesh. And therefore, didn't he leave in the owner's possession, the Ganav's possession? And therefore, it's not considered a sale. Kadashim Kalim. Rashi says, the Rabbi Yosef Galili. Midashi, beperek kama hilkach lav mechirahi. It's not considered a mechira. Miu, back to the old question. Mirshut marak kama afkinu. Hashem hekdesh. Tiki katabach lav marek katabach. Lenyan tevicha, it's still considered hekdesh. And therefore, you're not slaughtering the owners. It's not the owners. Legabe tevicha yom mipatur. And legabe mechira, it's considered that it's still the ganavs that he didn't sell it. Because he only consecrated it on the Kadashim Kalim level. So that's the case. We did Kadashim Kalim. Oh, aval koche Kadashim Mai. But let's say he made it koche Kadashim. Let's say he made it Ekdesh, the Ganav, as a Khatat. Mishalem Tashlema Arba B'Hamisha. Are you going to tell me it has to pay? Arba B'Hamisha is considered like a sale? Because it totally went out of his possession? Adetani Resha. Why did you have to tell me in the Resha? Ganav V'Tavach. V'Aharkach Ekdish. Right, he stole it. And then he was Toveyach. And then he was Magdish. Mishalem Tashlem Adalad Vehe. What did you have to give a case of you being Tobeyah after Hekdesh to pay Dalad Vehe? You can give a case now that you were Tobeyah. What did you have to give a case that you were Tobeyah before Hekdesh? Now you can give a case that you even Tobeyah after Hekdesh. Then you'll pay. And say, Niflog Velitni Bedida. When do we say Hekdesh is not considered a Mechira when it's Kadashim Kalim? About the Kochek Kadashim, Mishalem Tashlem Arba V'Hamisha. Which is, what did you have to make a chiluk in the Mishnah? If you were Toveyah before Hekdesh and Toveyah after Hekdesh. Keep the case both Toveyah, or keep the case always after Hekdesh and make a chiluk. If you made it Hekdesh, the Kadashim Kalim, it's not considered a Mechira. Then if you made it Hekdesh, the Kodshi Kodashim, it is considered a Mechira. You didn't have to give a case between before Hekdesh and after Hekdesh. You'd be able to give the same chiluk bedida in the case of Kshekdesho.
itself and make the haluk between kadashim kadim and kocher kadashim. So is he right? That's not the answer. Ela, you know what the case is. Le'olam la'shana kocher kadashim ve'la'shana kadashim kadim. No matter what he's going to sell it, it doesn't make a difference between. No matter what he's going to be makdish it for, it doesn't make a difference between kadashim kadim and kodesh kadashim. Oh, udekash alach. Mali machro lehejot. Mali machro leshamayim. Oh, so we have a question then. So if you're telling me it's a sale, so then why then don't you pay dalad ve? Why if you sell it, if the ganav sells it to a regular guy, tere uven, he has to pay dalad ve. So if he sells it to hekdesh, he should have to pay dalad ve also. But the fact that he makes it hekdesh, that should be considered a mechira. Gemara says no. Machro lehejot meikara torah der uven behashta torah der shimon.
That's the difference. It never left his shin, which means if I'm the ganav, so the uven sells it to Shimon. It starts off as short the uven, and now it becomes short the Shimon. When you make an hekdesh, now it started off as short of the uven, the ganav, and when he makes an hekdesh, now it's the short of hekdesh of the uven. So therefore, it's still considered the uven's hekdesh. And therefore, that's why it's not considered a mechira. So the maaseh, the reason why hekdesh is not a mechira, because it still retains the one that made the hekdesh's name on it. Rashi says, read Rashi, machro lehidyot, like halfway down. Meikara torah din uben, kodem shemachro karui ashur al shemo, shel ganav, umishemachro karui al shem lokeyah. Ava machro lashamayim, adayin shema makdisho alav shekarui olato shel pedoni. And therefore, it is not considered a mechira. So back to Amishnah. Amishnah said, if a ganav took an item and he made it, there's no dalad v'heir. What's the bottom line? Yeah, it is leaving his possession, but the maaseh is still called shoro shel leuven the ganav, umnam it's hekdesh, and therefore it's not considered a regular mechira, which turns from shoro shel shimon shel leuven to shoro shel shimon. Therefore, since it's not like that, therefore there is no din adalat ve. Rabbi Shimon omer. Now, Rabbi Shimon said at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said an interesting hadush. He said, well, it depends. It depends what the ganav was makdishit for. Rabbi Shimon said, if the ganav was makdish the animal that he stole for a item that's hayav b'ahariyutan, that you're hayav b'ahariyutan, then he's hayav dalad ve. But if it's not hayav l'ahariyutan, he's not hayav dalad ve. Now, the chaura, it's reverse logic. Let's review. Hayav l'ahariyutan means what? I have to replace it. If I have to replace it, so then this hekdesh over here is really, it's still my mamon, meaning because if I lose it, it's going to cause me, I'm going to have to replenish it. So that's more in my possession. So why would the Bishimon say that if it's hayab b'hariyutan and I made it a dish on something hayab b'hariyutan, for example, he said haray alay ola, that's not more reason that you should pay dalad v'heh. That's less reason why you should pay dalad v'heh, because it's more still in your possession. The Chaurat of Bishimon said something that the deen should be really reversed what he said. So that the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, Amre, Nihi desavri Rabbi Shimon, Mali machro lehejot, Mali machro leshamayim. Good. I understand Rabbi Shimon says that the Hekdesh is considered a sale, and therefore you're going to be Hayav Dalad Veher. But I don't understand his case that he said that you're going to be Hayav Dalad Veher, which means, granted, Rabbi Shimon must hold, there's no difference if you sell to a regular Hidyot, and there's no difference if you sell to the Shamayim. You're going to be Hayav. But in what case? He should have said the opposite. Kadashim shehayav b'hariyutan patur. Why? Da'katelo nafak meshute. It did not leave his neshut because it's gorem lemamon. Kadashim she'eno hayav b'hariyutan. That totally left his neshut. Hayav demafik lemeshute. Which means, Rabbi Shimon, we don't understand what you're saying. Your chinuk that you made between hayav and hariyutan and not hayav hariyutan does not fit. I mean, granted, I understand what you're trying to tell me, that a mechira lehekdesh is a mechira. In which case? In the case where you're hayav b'hariyutan. Not so. Hayav b'hariyutan is more still holding by the ganav, because he's hayav to replenish it. You should have said the opposite, Rabbi Shimon. Amre, Rabbi Shimon amilta ahariti ka'e. No, you misunderstood Rabbi Shimon. He was reacting in the Mishnah to another deen. Which means, really, you're right.
According to Rabbi Shimon HaKadashi, Amilta Aharitikai, Teecha Dagdish Ganav, Ben Leneder, Ben Lenedava, Lo Mechayev Rabbi Shimon, Lav Asha'ad Dehektesh Bishum Adayin Shimo Alav, Nidbatosh Shil Ploni. Which means, really Rabbi Shimon agrees with Tanakama. The bottom line, whenever you make something Hekdesh, at the Sha'ah of the Hekdesh, it's still called the Ganavs. Whether it was a Neder, whether it was a Nedaba, whether it was Hayav or not Hayav, he agrees with Tanakama on that. That's not considered a sale. Bishlama, when I'm selling it to a Hidyot, it goes from Shorosh Shalom to Shorosh Shimon. But by Hekdesh, Ze'adayin Shorosh Shalom Magdish. Good, Rabbi Shimon agrees with that. But so what were you talking about, Rabbi Shimon? You made a Hanuk between Hayav and Yutan and not. Different subject. What subject? Gemara. Haki Ketani. En agonev aharaganav. Meshalem tashlume dalet vehe. Okay, first case. A guy is gonev min aganav. He steals from a thief. He does not have to pay dalet vehe if he slaughters it. Similarly, vechen gonev hekdesh mibet ba'alim. If he steals hekdesh from the owner's house, patur. My ta'amav v'gunav mibet ha'ish v'lo mibet hekdesh. Good. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kadashim Shehayav Ba'achariyutan, Hayav. Oh, but if you steal from the owner's house, Kadashim, what type of Kadashim? Kadashim that he would have to replenish. For example, the guy said, Hare Alai, that it's Omer, Hayav Ba'achariyutan, he's going to be Hayav. My Tama, Karinan Be, Begunav Be'taish. Because even though it's Hekdesh, since that animal is gorem le mamon, it's like mamon of the ba'alim, because if you take it, the owner's going to have to replenish it. So it's like you stole his item. So it's considered v'gunav be'taish. And that's why the Bishamon is coming along to say, even though gonev hekdesh should not have to pay dalve, but it depends what type of hekdesh. If he's gonev hekdesh of hayab b'chariyutan, that's considered the gunam betaish, because the owner owns this animal in the sense that it's gorem le mamon. That what? If it gets lost, he's going to have to replenish it. So you stole something from the owner. Therefore, if it's hayab b'chariyutan, you're gonev from a guy, you're going to have to pay dalet vehe. However, v'sheinu hayab b'chariyutan, patur, telo karinam be v'gunam betaish. Very good. So therefore, that's what the Bishon was saying. Really, it comes out according to the Maskana of this piece. Everybody holds the etzim making it Hekdesh is not a Mechira. Therefore, when you the Ganav steals an animal and makes it Hekdesh, that's not a Mechira. Therefore, you're not Chayav Dal Behe. What was the Bishon talking about? Where a Ganav steals Hekdesh. He steals Hekdesh from a person's house. It's Hekdesh already. And now he slaughters it. Well, the Chayav should be Patur. Because Torah says, V'gunam mebetaish. This is Hekdesh. Rishon says, wait, it depends. If it's a type of Hekdesh, it's Hayab B'chariyutan, that's his. That's the issue. Because he's going to have to replenish it. When you steal it from him, you're Gorem the Mamon. You now cause him to have to pay. Therefore, it's Gorem the Betaish. Mashaykh, if it's not Hayab B'chariyutan, so I'm not Gorem the Mamon. He's off talking, he doesn't have to replenish it. Therefore, in that case, you will not pay down. That's what the Mishnah was talking about. A Gorem Hekdesh from a person's house. Mechdi, wait. שמעינה לרבי שמעון דאמר שחיטה שאינה ראויה לשמש שחיטה. Remember we learned earlier in the perek that Rabbi Shimon holds, let's say a ganav stole an animal and he was shohetet and the animal became a terefa. Rabbi Shimon's shita was you know chayav dalet vehe, because Rabbi Shimon holds it has to be a shechita ra'uya. It has to be a shechita that's between the animal to eat. So Gemara says Kadashim name shechita she'en re'uyahi. Wait, in this case over here, granted, he stole an animal from the Baal HaBayit, and it was Kadashim shechaya b'hariyutan. Where did he slaughter it? He slaughtered it in his backyard. When you slaughter a korban in your backyard, it's not edible, it's a suit to eat. So how could Rabbi Shimon say you're going to be hayav dal v'he? Bottom line, the shechita is not re'uya. Again, let's review. Rabbi Shimon just told me a case. I steal, a ganav steals kadashim shechayav b'chariyutan. And he slaughters it. What did Rabbi Shimon say? Hayav dal v'he. What do you mean hayav dal v'he? This is a korban. You store a korban in your backyard, you can't eat it. It's shontehutz. I thought you, Rabbi Shimon, is the same rabbi that said you only hayav dal v'he in a shechita that is edible, makes it edible. So how do you say hayav in this case? So Gemara is going to give a few answers to settle this question. Ki atar avdimi amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Beshochet Timimim Mibifnim Leshem Ba'alim.
Very good. He brought the animal inside the Azara, and he slaughtered it for the sake of the Ba'alim. Therefore, the Shechita is a Shechita Re'uya. It's a Shechita that is viable, it's edible, because you slaughtered it in the Azara, and he slaughtered it not only, he slaughtered it for the sake of the original owners. So the Gemara says, wait.
Vare hazra kidin the Ba'alim.
If that's the case, he returned the animal to the owner. By slaughtering it for him in the Azara, it's like he gave him the kidin back. Why would you have to pay dal v'heh? It's like he returned the kidin.
Yeah.
So you answered me how it's edible. And that's why you pay dal v'heh. But if he slaughtered it for the sake of the Ba'alim, he gave the animal back, basically. Yeah. So why would you have to pay dal v'heh?
So Gabriel says, oh, you don't know the case. I'm going to be talking about Avinch and the Shmach Adam.
The case is talking about where before he was able to bring it as a korban, the blood spilled. So therefore, it's not oleh le'ba'alim. So therefore, you have a case where the shechita is good, but it's not chazara le'ba'alim because the blood spilled before he was able to bring it. Therefore, he has to pay arba v'hamisha. That's the case according to Rabbi Shimon. That's one way of learning. So at the time of the shechita was re'uya. That's why the shaita is considered a viable shaita, but since the blood spilled, so he didn't return anything back to the Ba'alim because he didn't bring it for the Ba'alim. The first Ba'al Baba Hamisha.
Ki ata rabin amar b'yohanan, different answer. B'shochet temimim b'fnim shelo l'shem Ba'alim.
Now, I'll give you a similar case. You took the animal, you slaughtered it inside, but you didn't do it for the sake of the Ba'alim. Oh, what do you mean you didn't do it for the sake of the Ba'alim? So for sure it's lo hazra. And we're holding like the opinion that says that when you do a shechita shelo lishma, it's kodesh, and the korban is viable. It's just that lo ala lebe'alim, because of Maram Nashim.
The shechita re'uyai, the kai malan, kodesh zebachim, shenizbihu shelo lishma, kesherin. The keren lo hazra lebe'alim, the kai malan shelo alu lebe'alim, l'shem hoba, but it doesn't count.
So that's the second answer.
Third answer, the Rish Lakish Amar Beshochet Ba'ale Mumin Bachutz.
Oh, the case was Ba'ale Mumin. The animal that he stole was indeed a Ba'al Mum. A Ba'al Mum, you don't have to slaughter in the Azara. You could slaughter it Chutz La Azara, and therefore it's viable. Therefore, you have no problem. Rashi Ba'ale Mumin Shechitatan Heter Bachutz. And therefore, you have no problem. So let's get review the three answers we have over here. The three answers were prompted by a question. What was the question we had? What do you mean to be Shimon? You hold it the only time you chayav dal v'hei was a shechita re'uya. In this case, the guy stole the hekdesh, he slaughtered it, where's shechita re'uya? Answer number one is re'uya. He brought it into the Azara, he slaughtered it l'shem ba'alim. L'shem ba'alim? Chazak kerem. There's a 3, 4, 5. No, the blood spilled. Okay, second answer. No, he brought it into the Azara, everything was good, and he slaughtered shelo l'shem ba'alim. So he didn't return it to the owners, that's 3, 4, 5, but it's considered kasher. Third answer, it was a ba'almum. Ba'almum, chutz la'azara, muta. Those are the three answers. Now the Gemara says, tahiba. Literally, tahiba means, he wondered, but in literal sense, that she says, tahi lashon miriyah bekankan. He was smelling. Which means, he's going to now ask some questions on the answers that we just gave. Tahiba rabbi al-azar. Which means Rabbi Yochanan and Nishtakish. How did they just answer the question? Rabbi Yochanan and Nishtakish answered three answers. Two in Rabbi Yochanan and one in Nishtakish. The two of Rabbi Yochanan is he was shochet timimim bifnim, and either the blood spilt, right? Or lo l'shem ba'alim. And Nishtakish answered it was ba'al mum that you slaughtered
outside.
Either way, we answered the question that the shechita was okay.
To that, the Bilazar has a question. Tahiba Rabbi El Azar, Rabbi Yohanan, Shechita Materet, Ba'alo Zirika Materet.
What's Matir the animal to eat? Not the Shechita, the Zirika, the sprinkling of the blood. And therefore, your answer is not an answer. You're trying to answer me that the Shakish has to give me a case where the Shechita was Matir the animal. That's why you Hayab Da'ad Be'eh. But that's not so. If the blood spilled, the animal is not Matir. And the animal is not mutar. The shechita is not matir, the korban. It's the blood. So you didn't answer me. By saying that the blood spilt, that means the animal is not edible. So therefore that answer is not a good answer.
Secondly, he asked Kot Nishtakish, לריש לקיש, שחיטה מתרת, והלו פדיה מתרת. Exactly, which means in a court of Rish Lakish, he took the Baal Mum and he slaughtered it. The slaughtering doesn't matir the animal. A Baal Mum, you need to make a pidyon. So therefore, even though you made a shechita, it's not matir. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, how did you answer the question to make the animal mutar? Lechaura, in both these cases, the animal is not mutar. If the blood spilt, the dam is matir the animal to eat it. Or the pidyon is matir the animal, not the shechita. Question only by the Rabbi Rish Lakish. That was Rabbi Elazar's question.
So Kadosh Gemaran says that what? When Rabbi Elazar asked this question, he did not know a fact. A very important fact. And what is that fact? Istemitete had Rabbi Shimon. He did not know what the Bishimon holds. Kola omed lizrok kezaruk damin. That means blood that's omed to be sprinkled or thrown on the Mizbeah, we consider it as if it was done, even though in truth, bepo'al, it was not nizrak. And therefore there's no question according to the way Rabbi Yohanan answered. Even though the blood spilt in the end, but at the time of the shechita it was viable to be sprinkled, therefore it's kezaruk tamer, therefore the shechita is materin. It's considered as if it was done. And furthermore, the chola omed lifdot kefadui dame, a behema that's destined to be padui, we consider it padui, and then even though you didn't do it yet. And therefore, it's not a question according to the Shtekish. When you slaughtered the Baal Emumin lebahutz, even though you didn't podet it yet, but the omdim liftiya and the sofam nipadot, therefore it's going to eat it, and therefore the shaita is considered a shaita that is materet. Look at Nashi, please. The chola omed lifdot. Why? Hu'il v'sofan lekach. U'ba'aleh mumin, the Rashi says, goes back to a point we mentioned, we're talking about over here, ba'aleh mumin me'ikaran askinan. It's talking about where they were ba'al mum before the owner made it hekdesh. De'i b'shekadam ekdishan et muman, which means, if it's talking about b'shekadam ekdishan, then what? Then they became a mum to lo hazu the fijon. Then already after you slaughter it, they're not subject to pijon mishin ishatu. The shamin of the bishamon and the kishwa bishamon mishmatam but the masikat temura. Which means that she's giving us a side point in Hilchot pijon. The only time you can make a pijon on an animal after you slaughtered it is if it started off as a baal mum and the guy was makdishin as a baal mum. Then if you slaughter it, you're still subject to pijon. But if you made it a dish and then it became a baal mum and then you slaughtered it, there's no pijon. So then she's just fixing the case. I don't understand. But bottom line, Rabbi Elazar, your question is not a question. Because Rabbi Shimon holds, Kol ha'omed lizrok kezaruk dame. And Kol ha'omed lifdot kefadui dame. Kol ha'omed lizrok kezaruk dame. How do you know the concept that anything that is destined to be sprinkled is considered as if it's sprinkled? The Tanya Rabbi Bright, Rabbi Shimon omer, Yesh notar shehu metameh tum'at ochlim. We have a law of notar. Notar is a type of korban that after a certain time, it becomes notar. You're not allowed to eat it. It becomes a sud b'hana'ah. For example, you have certain korbanot. It's the day that you sacrifice it and the following night. By the next morning, already it's considered notar and it's asur b'akhila. So there's a certain notar that has a din of tum'at ochlim. That means you can receive tum'ah. V'yesh notar she'elo metamet tum'at ochlim. And there's another type of tum'ah, a notar, that does not receive tum'at ochlim. Ketzad. I'm going to explain how. Lan lefne zirika eno metamet tum'at ochlim. If let's say it was lan, was it lan? If let's say the night passed before you made zirika on the korban, before you sprinkled the blood, eno metumat tumat ochlim. We'll see why. Le'achad zirika, let's say it stayed overnight, after zirika tadam, metamet tumat ochlim. Ve'kaim alana, we have a understanding, my lifne zirika, what does it mean lifne zirika, before it was sprinkled? Kodem shenir'e lizrika, before it was ra'ui to be sprinkled. Le'achad zirika, what does it mean? After it became ra'ui,
The Gemara explains that. Kodem shenid elizrika lan. Let's say before it was ra'ui for it to be sprinkled, the korban stayed overnight. Mayhi, what's the case? Delo havia shahut bayom lemizreke. That there wasn't enough time in the day to do the sprinkling. It wasn't ra'ui lizrika. For example, the shachtes samuk shkiyat tahama. They made the shaita right close to shkiyat tahama. So there wasn't enough time in the day to get the zrika in, and therefore ve'eno mitameh tumat ochlim, and therefore it's not going to be mitameh tumat ochlim. We'll explain this in Nashi. Le'achar shenir'el zrika, but after it was nir'el zrika lan, it stayed overnight. Tehavya shahut payom le'mizrekeh, there was enough time in the day to sprinkle it. Mitameh tumat ochlim, it will be mitameh tumat ochlim. Alma kol ha'omed lezrok. Now that we have the words in the Braita, now we can go see Nashi. Nashi says, "Yesh notar shemetameh l'Rabbi Shimon isure ana'a en metameim tumat ochlin." Okay, we have a rule. There's a certain tumah called tumat ochlin. You have a food stuff. The food stuff sometimes can be mekabel tumah, tumat ochlin. It's called, and sometimes not. Rabbi Shimon has a rule: only items that are not isur hana'ah, that are edible, can be subject to tumat ochlim. But if the item is isur hana'ah, there is no tumat ochlim. How does he know that? That's she. Nedarish mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Ochel she'ata yachol la'achilo la'acherim. If it's edible, even though you might not be allowed to eat it, let's say you could feed it to somebody else, or le'nochri, or le'slave to a goy, karui ochel. Which means if this meat, even for one moment, had a shat heter after it was slaughtered, yarda alav din kabbalat tumah, v'afilu ne'esal leharken, even though it became asur afterwards, so long as that 1 second of heter achila, mekabel tumah. What's the case? Rashi lan lefne zirika. Kadashim hanifsalim liyot notar balayla echat. We're talking about an animal that becomes notar, a korban that becomes notar in one night. We have the day that you slaughtered it, and the following night, by the next morning, it's notar. Kegon, toda, the koche kodashim, kulam, im lo nizrak daman, velo nitar ba'achila. If let's say you weren't able to sprinkle it, you weren't able to, because they made the shaita so close to sunset, they weren't able to get the sprinkling in. So therefore the animal itself never had a heter achila. Because you cannot eat the meat until you sprinkle, or I should say better, or until it's ra'ui to be sprinkled. But in the case where it was never ra'ui to be sprinkled, did the meat ever have a sha'at heter? No. Therefore it can never receive tum'at ochlim. Masha'enken, let's say they slaughtered the korban, not close to sunset, but they didn't sprinkle. It was ra'ui to be sprinkled. If it's ra'ui to be sprinkled, we have a rule. Kota Mishimon. Kota ra'ui lizrok, kinu zaruk dameh. And therefore the animal is considered as if it was sprinkled, and therefore we consider the food as if it has a sha'at heter. Not that you could eat it, because really you didn't sprinkle the blood. But le'inyan tumat ochlin, we're going to consider it as sha'at heter to be subject to the rule of tumat ochlin. If you see according to Rabbi Shimon, he holds of the rule, kol hara'ui lizrok kezaruk dameh. Again, you have to know the three rules here. Well, three or four rules. Number one, there's a concept of notar. Notar is something, in this case over here, that it stayed overnight. By the next morning, the Torah says you got to burn it. That's why korbanot, toda, kadashim, kodesh kadashim. Rule number two, that for tum'at ochlin to hit something, according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be ra'ui the achila. It had to have a second at least where it was ra'ui. Okay, rule number three. An animal, if it's not shayach to sprinkle its blood, never has a sha'at heter. What do you mean? It doesn't have a potentiality. You slaughter the animal 5 seconds before sunset. Okay. So it wasn't even ra'ui for zirika. She cannot make zirika at night. So it was not even ra'ui. Therefore, this korban over here never had sha'at heter. Therefore, it's not going to be subject to whatever the laws of Tumat Ochlim are. Masha'ekin, if you slaughtered it 10 minutes before sunset, even though you didn't sprinkle, but it was ra'ui to sprinkle. The Bishamon says it's subject to matochlim. Why? Because he holds, kola omed lizrok, kezaruk dame. We consider it as if it was nizrak. Le'enyan tumat oklim, it can become tame. And therefore, it can become tumat oklim. Because that's as a potential shot to the viability, we'll call it. Right? So it's kezaruk dame. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Shimon, therefore, go back to our original question that we had on Rabbi Shimon. The question was, Rabbi Shimon, you hold that to make tabiha, it has to be viable. To be hayav arva v'hamisha, Rabbi Shimon said, let's say you slaughtered a terefa. Rabbi Shimon said, the terefa is no good. I slaughtered it, but ganav v'tabach. But it has to be ra'u l'achila. So we had a question. We said, yesterday we had a today's daf, on the earlier daf, we had a question of a guy that steals an animal of Kadashim. Right? And he slaughters it. We said, well, when you slaughter Kadashim outside the Beit HaMikdash, it's not, you can't eat it. Oh, so we said, the case is talking about where he took the animal and he brought it either inside the Beit HaMikdash, he brought it inside, and he slaughtered it inside. Okay, he slaughtered it inside, but still, we had a question. If you slaughtered inside, then you don't owe 4 or 5, because you gave back the animal basically to the owner. If you slaughtered it inside for the owner, so it's like he gave back the kid into the owner. Why do you have to pay 4 or 5? Oh, what about where the blood spilled? Which is the blood spilled, and therefore it wasn't on there for the owner. The owner didn't get credit. What do you mean if the blood spilled? So therefore, the Gemara say, when does an animal become mutar ba'achila? After the sprinkling of the blood. So therefore the shechita was still not viable. So if the shechita is not viable, according to the Bishimon, you should not be hayah 4 or 5. It's not the shechita that's matir a korban, it's the zirika. That the Gemara answers, kol ha'omed lizrok kezaruk dame. That since it was able to be nizrak, even though it wasn't, it's considered, therefore can either zaruk, therefore the shechita is really matir it, and therefore will be hayav dal de. Where do you see that? From the law of Tumat Ochlim that we just read. That even though you didn't zorek, the animal is considered mutar ba'na'al le'enyan, that it's going to receive, it's mutar ba'achilal le'enyan, it's going to receive Tumat Ochlim. Where do you see that from? That so long as it was slaughtered at the time of day where you had potentially enough time to sprinkle it, it's considered what? As if it was sprinkled le'enyan, that this meat now, the next morning, which is called notar, will receive tumat ochlim. But never had a shat etid. It did. Potentially had a shat etid. Because it was ra'ui lizrok, so it's kezaruk tameh. That's why they answer the Bishimon. Bechol ha'omed lifdot, kepadui tameh. We have another law now. We have another law that says, anything that's omed lifdot, anything that's ra'ui to make pidyon on, it's like it is padui. Now why we have to say this case? Because we had a question. According to the Shlakish, the Shlakish answered the case of Rabbi Shimon like this. He stole an animal, it was Ekdesh. So our question was, when you slaughter Ekdesh, it's not that mutar ba'achila, why should it be hayaf? Oh, so we're saying he stole an animal that was a Baal Mum. Oh, it's a Baal Mum, and they slaughtered the Baal Mum, you have to slaughter inside the Azara. He slaughtered the animal outside the Azara, and therefore it's considered a shechita that is matir. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it's matir? It's not matir, you have to make a pidyon. Mm-hmm. You didn't make a pidyon. Until you make a pidyon in this animal, the animal is not mutar b'achila. According to Bishimon, how could you be chayav da'al behe? You didn't make a pidyon. So that the Gemara said, kol ha'omed lifdot kepadui deme. Since potentially you were able to make a pidyon, he looks as if it was padui. Therefore, it's considered as if the shaita is considered okay, because it's potentially able to make, since eventually you're going to make the pidyon. I'm going to read you that Rashi. Look at Rashi a little the way up on the Amud Bet. V'chol ha'omed lifdot. Read that Rashi. U'ba'ale mumin kifduin damu. U'il v'sofan lekach. It's destined to become padui. Okay, good, that's what she says. Since it's going to be padui, it's kipadui. Where do you see this from? Gemara. Netanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says. Again, you gotta get Rabbi Shimon's rule when it comes to Tumat Ochlim.
only something that's mutar behana'a, that has a deen that it's mutar to benefit from, is subject to tum'at ukhlin. Such a type of food will receive tum'ah from other items. It has to be da'ui. But if it's never had a sha'at heter, it cannot be subject to the laws of tum'at ukhlin. Oh, it's got to be ochel, because it's from pasuk. We call that ochel asher yachel. It has to be edible, at least for 1 second. Baruch Amen. Amen.